All right, back on the record. Mr. Armstrong, do you have other witnesses you wish to call at this time?
Cassie Steele.
Steele. Yes, I won't tell you that that was a chair that we put over there because I couldn't get it to go down either. In North Dakota, whenever someone testifies at an administrative hearings, one of my responsibilities is to inform them of the penalties for perjury. And those penalties are up to $10,000 and up to 5 years in prison, and it is a Class C felony. Understanding those penalties, Ms. Steele, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth here today? All right. Mr. Armstrong, you may proceed.
Thank you. Ms. Steele, who are you employed by?
Reservation Telephone Co-op.
And what is your job?
I am a line locator.
What do you do as a line locator?
I go out and locate our underground utilities for digging purposes.
Do you have a territory?
Yes, my territory is the Ross area.
How long have you been doing that job?
A little over 2 years now.
You're familiar with the cases we're here discussing this morning, is that correct?
Yes.
In our exhibit binders, we have exhibits 10 through 13. Are those the one-call tickets dealing with the digs we've been talking about this morning?
Yes, they are.
Can you tell me just how it works when you get called out to locate lines? Can you start from the process of when you begin to when you end locating a line?
We get these tickets in through Corterra, and we have 48 hours to do those tickets in. We go out, and wherever the area is, if we got questions, we, you know, contact the contractor and go out and just mark whatever is necessary.
Do you have kind of a standard procedure you use to mark lines?
Yes, we hook onto the nearest vault or ped, and it has, they're called grounds that are attached to the cable, and they come up through the ped. They are labeled which way they go, and we hook on with our transmitter, and it transmits frequencies through the line so that we can pick it up with our wand and mark it.
So you're locating the actual line where it is in the ground?
Yes.
And then you locate it on top of the ground?
Yes.
How do you locate it? What do you do on the ground that shows there's a line there?
I either paint or flag or paint and flag, or if it's a high traffic area, I use these whiskers.
Do you know what you did in the case of the one call tickets and the digs we're talking about this morning?
Yes.
What did you do to locate the lines there?
Most of the lines were on the road where, you know, everybody was going to drive. So I would hook on to whatever line I needed to hook on to. I'd dot it about every 5 to 10 feet. And I would come back, make bold, thick orange lines, and I would put one of these whiskers in every line so that if the paint were to disappear, these would still be there.
And what color paint did you use?
Orange.
And so as I understand it, you would walk the line, is that correct?
Yes.
And you have a machine, what's it called?
A wand.
Okay, and that notifies you somehow that you're above the line?
Yes.
And then every 5 to 10 feet you would dot it?
Yes.
And so when you get done then with that line, can you look back and see kind of these dots lined up?
Yep.
And then you walk back on the line and make the stripes with the orange paint bigger?
Yes.
Okay. And then tell me again what you use the whisker for.
I use it in a high traffic area. If the paint were to disappear, these would still be there, indicating where the line is. Okay.
So, and how far apart do you put whiskers?
About wherever the lines are, right on top of the lines that I had drawn on the ground.
Sure, but I'm assuming, you know, the line may be 50, 100 feet long. Like how many whiskers do you put? Like how far apart is each whisker?
However many marks I made.
Okay. So it would be several.
Yes. probably in a day a couple hundred.
Is that how you marked each of the lines we're dealing with this morning?
Yes, if they did cross into the grass, I would put flags and paint, because you don't need whiskers in the grass, so, okay. But yes.
So it'd be whiskers and paint for sure, and if it was in the grass, you would use flags?
Yes.
Okay. You were here during Mr. Hart's testimony. You heard his testimony, is that correct?
Yes.
And you were actually the person who was on site both before and after all these cables were damaged, is that correct? Before marking any of these lines, did you have any meetings with Northern Excavating or anything, or any special requests from the company?
If I had any problems understanding the ticket, I would, but if I understood what they, you know, were asking of me, no, I didn't.
In this case, do you recall specifically having anything directly with them prior to marking that they requested or anything specific?
There was a couple times. Maybe if I was confused on something, but other than that, no.
And if you were confused on something, you'd get that clarification then mark after solving that issue?
Yes.
Okay. It sounds to me like nothing specific is standing out in your mind, though.
No.
Okay. We've got marked as Exhibit 14 and 15. Are you familiar with those maps?
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand those maps generally show the location of the digs and the lines that were damaged in these seven cases this morning.
Yes.
It's not necessarily to scale or anything like that, but it's a picture of the city of Ross.
Yes.
I've marked in front of you two maps, the same exact maps, and I've put a 14A on one and a 15A on the other one. Do you see that?
Yes.
I would just like to first start, I guess, with Exhibit 14. And on Exhibit 14A, there's PU13877 over on the left side.
Yes.
Could you take a black or blue marker, whichever one shows up better, and mark as close as possible with a X where the actual break in that line was?
Yes.
Were you called out to that site as a result of a facility being damaged?
Yes, I was.
Do you recall who you were called out by?
Yes, Kyle Benson had called me.
Did you learn who Kyle Benson was?
Yes.
And who is he?
He was the foreman out there.
And what did Mr. Benson tell you when he called you about the damage at the site of PU13877?
He told me that they had hit one of our lines with a track hoe bucket.
Did you go out to that site?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us what you saw?
I saw that it was clearly ripped apart by something mechanical.
Why do you say that?
Because there wasn't anything else to damage it. There was a big hole that was caused by a big track hoe bucket.
Was there a track hoe there?
Yes.
Could you just kind of describe that piece of equipment? I think we all know what a track hoe is, but if you could just generally describe, does it look like a big tractor with a big bucket on an arm?
Yes, with tracks on it instead of wheels and tires.
And were there Northern Excavating people at the site?
Yes.
Could you still observe markings from when you had marked that line?
Yes.
Could you generally describe what markings you could still see?
I could see whiskers. The paint marks were gone. Where the track hole was sitting, obviously they were gone, but where it came out the other side, they were still there.
So you could see where they dug, you couldn't see, but you could see your markings still continue.
Yes.
In the other direction?
Yes.
Okay. You believe that line was appropriately marked?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Because you learn to trust your machine, and it's able to give you depths, you know, within a couple inches of it, but you know when it's lying and you know when it's not, and I I just know that it's there.
When you were out there where this was damaged and looking at the damage to RTC's facility, could you see where the markings that were still present in line with where the damage occurred?
Yes.
I'm going to jump to 878, which is down kind of in the Second Street West area. Do you see that?
Yep.
Could you please mark on this sheet with an X in either black or blue? What color are you using?
Black.
Okay, could you mark with an X a little more closely the exact location, if you could, of the break in this case?
Yes.
Did you go out to the site when you were notified of this break?
Yes, I did.
How were you notified of this break?
Kyle Benson had called me.
And what did Kyle Benson tell you?
He said that they had found one of our orange conduits. They did not cut through it, but they ripped it up with the track hole bucket and kinked it really bad.
Did you go out to the site?
Yes, I did.
What did you see?
Exactly what he explained.
Was there still a track hole present?
Yes.
Were there still markings present from when you marked it?
They were in the ditches, like on either side of the road. I had flags there.
Okay. Was it appropriately marked?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember. I guess I apologize, but I'm remembering if this is the boring one or not.
It is.
Do you have any knowledge about the boring that would be necessary to repair this line?
I know where the handholes are, where they would go from handhole to handhole.
And where are those located?
They are located...
Just a sec. Don't write on there for a second. If you could, maybe we could mark the handholes in blue so that we don't get them mixed up with the digs.
I can do that.
So at least on Exhibit 14A now... and I'll remember to offer this when you're done testifying. You've marked the handholes 14 of where the boring would need to be done to repair that line. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you've marked those with a blue X?
Yes.
Two blue X's?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you know. Do you have an estimation of how far apart they are?
No, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's stay with this map for a second and talk about number 880.
Okay.
How close to the black X with 878 would the location of the damage for 880 be?
About 50 to 100 feet at the 100 feet at the most.
In which direction?
To the north.
Can you mark it separately with a black X?
Yes.
How did you find out about the damage in case number PU-880?
Kyle Benson had called me.
What did Kyle Benson tell you for that case?
He said that they had found our line by cutting it with their track hole.
Did you go out to the site that day?
Yes, I did.
What did you see?
I seen that the line was ripped up by a track hole.
Same as the other instances?
Yes.
Were there markings present? Markings present,
yes.
In this case? Did your markings indicate to you that they were marked properly and that in line with where the damage had occurred?
Yes.
Your Honor, I need to approach the witness for a second.
Please go ahead.
What are these? Yeah. Okay. Well,
I've got to return back to my seat, but I might share the microphone with you for a second.
Okay.
Here. I apologize, but we want to make this exhibit as clear as we can. The covers you've marked with the blue Sharpie, could you put a circle around those, please?
Yes.
And then, am I correct, the one I'm pointing at here, is that the one for 880? The one on the north, the blue circle?
Yes.
Could you draw just an arrow to that? If I were to, is it this one right here?
Yeah.
If I were to put an arrow to that and put 880, is that correct with the location, approximate location of where the damage occurred in 880?
Yes.
And if I were to put an arrow to the other one and write 878, is that the location of the damage for case number 878?
Yes.
And if I do the same with case number 877, is that the general location of that damage?
Yes.
I'm going to offer Exhibit 14A.
Mr. Lindberg, do you have objections to 14A?
No. Yeah. I'll refer to it, I guess, later.
Do you have objections to 14A, Ms.
Jeffers? No, thank you.
It will be admitted then.
Ms. Steele, I'd like to do the same thing with Exhibit 15 now.
Okay.
And are you okay adding arrows and case numbers like I did on that one as we talked through it?
Yes.
You have a map in front of you marked as Exhibit 15A, is that correct?
Yes.
I'd like to start on the left side of that map with case number 879.
Okay.
Could you mark on that map with the black X and an arrow with the case number where the close to where the damage occurred in this case?
Yes.
And I understand that's a little different than the circle, is that correct?
Yes, this one is about a couple hundred feet north of this circle.
And were you called out to the damage for this site?
Yes.
Who called you?
Kyle Benson.
What did Kyle Benson tell you?
Told me that they cut it with their track hole trying to find it.
Did you go out to the site?
Yes, I did.
And what did you see?
I seen that it was ripped in half.
Were your markings still present in the area?
Yes.
Did they line up with where the damage had occurred?
Yes.
Did the damage you saw look like it had been cut with the track hole?
Yes.
Moving on to case number 881, it's in the center of the page, is that correct?
Yes.
Could you put a X and an arrow with the case number to the approximate location of the damage in that case?
Yes.
How did you find out about this damage?
I had gotten another call from Kyle.
What did Kyle Benson tell you?
Told me that they cut it with their track hole.
Okay. Did you go out to the site that day?
Yes, I did.
What did you see?
I seen that it was ripped in half.
Was there again a track hole present?
Yes.
And were your markings still present?
Yes.
Did your markings line up with where the damage had occurred?
Yes.
Moving on to case number 882.
Okay.
Could you mark this again with an X and an arrow to show the approximate location of the damage?
This one I am unsure of. It's in within that proximity of that.
Why are you unsure of this one?
Because I just don't know where the exact location was.
Okay. Do you recall there being damage within this black circle?
Yes.
Okay. And why do you recall that?
Because this one was a little more special.
Okay. Why do you say that?
This one, they were digging west to east, and there was a previous buried splice there from I don't know when, but they had scraped along the side of the trench, hooked the extra splice loop, pulled that out with the tooth of their bucket, and it ripped the splice case apart.
Let's start with that. So it was somewhere within that black circle on the map in front of you.
Yes.
And how did you become aware of that incident?
I was called by Kyle again.
What did Kyle tell you when he called you?
Told me that they found something weird looking and that they had cut it with their track hole. Okay.
Did you go out to the site?
Yes, I did.
Were markings still present?
Yes.
Were they in line with where the damage had occurred?
Yes.
Let's move on to PU13883.
Okay.
Were you called? Could you put an X and an arrow if you're aware of the approximate exact location of that damage?
Yes.
How did you become aware that a facility had been damaged in that case?
I was called on that also.
Who were you called by?
Kyle.
What did Kyle tell you?
Said that they cut it with the track hole.
It sounds like he, other than maybe 882, was told you the same thing on all of these?
Yes.
Did you go out to the site that day?
Yes, I did.
Was the location of the damage in line with your markings you had previously put out?
Yes.
Other than cutting it with a track hole, did Mr. Benson or anyone from Northern Excavating ever complain to you about some other reason they had damaged any of these facilities?
Nope.
And I apologize, I should back up there for a second. I've got to enter Exhibit 15A. To approach again. Okay. Would you put an arrow, please, for the 881?
Yes.
I might offer Exhibit 15A.
It's fine.
You have no objection?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. That's okay.
You have circles and X's.
I have no objection.
All right. 15A will be admitted.
When you went to any
Before
of the...
Go, oh. Do you want the commissioners to look at it at all? Or do you want to wait till after she...
I think it'd be better if we maybe finished her testimony so they could hear the rest of it and then take a look at it.
Okay.
When you, at any of these times you were called out for this damage, Ms. Steele, was there any indication to you that the facilities had been damaged by a trench cave-in or anything other than a track hole?
No.
Based on your markings that were around the facilities that were hit, did it appear they had been operating carefully and prudently around those facilities?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because if they were, our lines wouldn't have got cut.
Could you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean by that?
Usually when people do expose our lines, they hydrovac it to expose it.
Explain that a little bit more, please.
That is basically a high water coming out of a sprayer type thing, and they spray the ground with it, and then they have a vacuum hose that comes from the top of the truck and sucks out all that water and dirt.
Do people also locate lines sometimes using hand digging?
Yes.
Was there any indication to you here that either around the location of these lines they'd been hand digging or using a hydrovac?
I did see two guys in the trench with shovels, but they weren't using them.
And you'd been told on each case that they'd cut it with a track hoe.
Yes.
Just a point of clarification. Which trench did you see the two guys in?
It was a couple of them. I couldn't remember each one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
And there was a track hoe present near the cut on each of these damage to the facilities?
Yes.
And Mr. Benson had told you on each of them that they'd been cut by a track hoe?
Yes.
That's all the questions I have.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Lindbergh, do you have questions for Ms. Steele?
Yes. You're employed through RTC as a line locator.
Yes.
Right? For approximately 2 years?
A little over 2 years.
When did you start?
September 11th of 2012.
So these breaks that we're talking about occurred basically in August, September, and October of 2013.
Yes.
So you have 1 year of experience in line locating.
Yes.
Did you go to college for line locating?
No, I did not.
What certification do you have from an accredited school or anything for line locating?
I did come down to Bismarck, or down here, for a couple day class, and I was also trained in by one of our other locators.
Were there other locators from RTC involved?
Nope.
With the Ross Project? Just you?
Yep, just me.
You mentioned that Kyle called you on every locate.
Yes.
Was that, your opinion, pretty amicable of him to do that, or just he's doing his job, or, I mean...
If he needed anything, I had gave him my number.
That was wonderful. And all locate requests have been done prior
yes.
to? Okay. On the line locator that you use, you know, the margin of error, what do you think it could be?
Within a couple inches.
Okay. And you mentioned the lines, they're marked either with paint or whiskers.
Or flags.
Okay, or flags, yeah. Are you familiar with the Third Street
yes.
area? What would your best estimation on the amount of traffic on that road?
A lot.
Certain number of vehicles? I mean, like 2,000 vehicles a day or just a lot?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, there's an elevator there, so you see semis coming and going. On top of that, you got, you know, oil field semis and whoever lives in Ross and all these pumpers and, you know,
Would it be best to say that whether there's whiskers there, painting, or flags, that in a short period of time they could be just wiped out easily?
Yes.
Okay. Are you... excuse me here. You're familiar with Kyle?
Yes.
Pretty much for all the phone calls and everything.
Yep.
Did he call you, like, for some remarks once in a while since he had your number?
A couple times, and after each one of these cuts, I did say, if you need me to remark anything, just call me.
And he did?
A couple times.
Okay. In Ross, in basically August through November, were you aware of the weather conditions there?
Yes.
Was there a lot of rain?
No.
Could there have been 19 inches of rain from basically last week in July through October?
19 inches of rain?
Yes.
From what dates?
End of July to till it starts snowing, which was November.
There could be.
Okay. did you have any pictures on the breaks or anything?
No, I did not.
On the job site, there where the breaks were or just the general job site, did you observe any ground conditions, water conditions, soil conditions?
There was no water in the trench or no cave-ins that I seen.
That you saw, okay. In the area down on Central Avenue between 3rd Street and the alleyway of the City Hall, which is about 2 3/4 blocks or probably almost 800 feet, what's on each side of the roadway for ground condition? You know, was there soil there, or was there a lake there, or sloughs, or?
Yeah, there was a little slough on the south side of the road, and in the ditch on the north side, a little water.
This slough on the south side, would it be fair to estimate it that it was approximately 3.5 blocks long by 1 block wide, according to Exhibit 14 and 15, which shows the size of it?
Yes.
So that's several acres. I don't have a calculator handy, but it'd be several acres in size.
A couple, yes.
Okay. On the north side of the road of Central Avenue, was there water in off the roadway?
There is a little water in the ditch, yes.
Basically from 1st Street to 3rd Street almost?
Yes.
Okay. When the lines that were, you know, called in that were broke, was it observed by you? Was it during the water line installation, pulling the trench box that was used, or during backfill operations, or don't know? Kind of a three-step question.
Can you ask that again?
When you observed the breaks, was it during the initial excavation, or was it during backfill operations, or?
Yeah, it was during excavation.
Okay. On the number 880, which is located on 2nd Street West, north of Central Avenue.
Yes.
You mentioned it was 50 to 100 feet north, the break.
Yes.
Did you observe that the line that was broke, how many feet of line was exposed there?
I would say about 5 feet, maybe a couple more.
Could it be possible that this line ran almost parallel in the line of the waterline construction and there was 50 to 100 feet of line exposed?
Not at that time, but it makes it different because there's no alleyway on that block.
But it's possible the line was parallel following the waterline that was put in. And
yeah, and it would be in the ditch of that road.
You mentioned, you know, all these lines were ripped up by a track hole. Could it be possible that when you say ripped up, you mean cut?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a big difference from being ripped to cut. Or could it be that when these lines were cut, that the track hole that was digging there, or not digging, but that was working on the side, backfilling, that the trench walls gave out and the back hole, he had to put his bucket down and so he didn't fall in the ditch because of the unstable soil conditions?
Nope, not that I seen.
But it's possible.
It's possible, but it didn't happen.
But were you there when the line was cut to see what happened?
No.
Okay. On number 882, you're unsure of the specific location.
and there was a special circumstance that Kyle called in. This line that had been previously spliced, there was several extra feet of extra line there, right? Like in an S shape, basically?
Yes, yes.
So is it possible when the crew was digging that when they encountered it, you know, don't most lines just go straight across the ditch and, you know, you're not encountering a big S? So when they encountered it, they uncovered it, and they dug a few feet later, and all of a sudden, wham, there's the other part of the S that they were, nobody knew it was there, right?
Right.
That, so is a special circumstance on that.
Could you ask that question again?
That instance where the line had been previous spliced was a special circumstance.
Right.
There was extra line there, and nobody knew the circumstances around it.
Right.
And this line was hit a couple times because of that.
Of the buried, the previous S.
Yes, it was hit a couple times.
It was hit once, but I don't know when that was hit. That was years ago.
Okay. I was... Well, okay. And you guys knew nothing of the existing splice, any as-builts that were presented or, you know, in your book of, you know, where the lines go, you have a book that you carry with you?
Yes, I carry a laptop with BAMPS on it.
But it didn't show that there had been a splice there?
No. Most of the time they do try to put, you know, buried splice on there, but I was not aware of that.
And then since you weren't aware of it, Kyle's crew or him wasn't made aware of that either?
No.
On number 883, this cut was done the same day as 882. Could it have been under the same circumstances that they were with that the trench could have caved in and the backhoe was swinging and he, you know, it just broke it?
I don't know that for sure. I seen that it was cut. I didn't see any trench caved in.
Are you familiar with water line or sewer line trench construction?
No.
So you don't know backfill compaction standards or in relation to dry ground, wet ground, bad soil conditions with groundwater and, you know, or anything like that?
No.
You mentioned when you arrived on site that is either 882 or 883 that there was two laborers that were working that were had shovels in their hand.
Like I said earlier, I don't remember which of these cuts that was. It was a couple times within all of these.
But you did see a couple laborers that
were... At a couple times.
A couple shovels. A couple times you saw this.
Yes.
Okay. But you don't know their techniques on how they dig around the utility lines or...
No.
Okay. On number 877, that was on 3rd Street, on Exhibit 14A. The crossing, or the line that was cut, was that a crossing that went across the street, or was it just paralleling down the road?
It came out of the R cabinet that's on the west side of that road, crossed the road, and then it comes up like this and eventually snakes back to the other side.
Okay, you're going to have to describe that. You can't use a hand motion.
So. Oh, can I draw it out?
Maybe you can use directions, northwest, south.
Oh, okay. Okay, it comes out of that cabinet across 3rd Street to the east, and then it heads north, and looking from this map, I'd say about 100 feet, and then it does eventually go back to the west side of the road in a northwest direction diagonally.
Thank you.
So the line where it was cut, it was paralleling the road.
No, it was crossing the road.
And then it paralleled the road.
Yes.
Okay. But it's real close to that area of paralleling the road.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Did you observe ground conditions at that point?
Yes.
Any pictures on that?
No.
Are you familiar with any operations on how a track hole works?
No.
I just want to reiterate that when you mentioned that, you know, the lines were ripped up by the track hole, they were cut.
Yes.
Ripped is a pretty big word. but that's all I have.
Right. Thank you very much, Ms. Jeffco-Sacco.
We don't have any questions.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Cassie. Just a couple questions. Have you ever received any training or participated in any of the One Call meetings around the state?
No.
Is Brooks Goodall part of RTC?
Yes.
Do you know if he has a position in North Dakota One Call Board?
I think he does.
Okay. Just following through on that. Okay. I'm looking at I don't know what the right way to put this in. I don't know that we have to, but the North Dakota One Call Handbook, there's a lot of things in this that I'd like to refer to. So I don't know, Alana, what's the best way I can just refer to this because it's a book that we can all take note of? Or?
I think go ahead and put it in as an exhibit.
I would like to put it in as an exhibit, Your Honor.
We will mark it as Exhibit 17.
All right, thank you. I'm just going through this to kind of point out some points. First off, I must have missed the first part. Kyle Benson talked about he's an employee of Northern Excavating. Is he in this room at all?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe we'll hear from him later today. But it was made reference to that he called you. But if I'm looking at the North Dakota One Call, it says that if an excavator hits something, they're supposed to call 911 immediately and notify the owner of the facility. So that's in the book that they're supposed to call you. Do you know if they called 911 at all?
I wouldn't know that.
Okay. But to your knowledge, nobody called 911 when your facilities were hit?
No.
When you went out there, could you just, how wide was the trench that you saw? Any guesses? Was it 2 feet or 4 feet or 10 feet?
About 10 feet, maybe more.
Okay, so pretty wide then. Okay. And you said that you didn't see any vacuum excavation, but there may or may not have been hand excavation. You couldn't say one way or the other on that? You said you didn't see anything that there'd been vacuum excavation.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I didn't see that.
Okay. But you did testify that you saw some folks in the trench, but you didn't actually see them doing any hand digging, if you will?
No, I did not.
Okay. Just a couple other things. It's interesting how the discussion covers a lot of things, but the issue is still, did Northern Excavating conduct their excavating in a careful and prudent manner? And you were already asked that question, and you said you don't believe that. But nowhere in any of Northern Excavating's filings or responses did they claim that you had improperly marked anything. So all of their responses claim that, and they're all the same, Northern claims that the line had been hand-exposed and protected but was damaged when the Trent excavation caved in as a result of inundation with water and poor soils. So nowhere in there did they say that it was improperly marked.
Okay.
So I'm just clarifying what I've viewed out of this. So, I mean, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously. You believe you marked all these lines correctly?
Yes, I do.
And it doesn't appear to me that there is an issue in any of the filings that the marking was done improperly. So you testified. Tell me again when Kyle Benson called you, basically gave you the same response. And what was it again?
That they had found one of our lines by digging it up with the track hole bucket.
So that conflicts directly with the response of Northern, where they say that they had done hand digging and it failed because of water and poor soil conditions. Do you believe it's the responsibility of the excavator to make sure that the trench is maintained?
Yes, I do.
Do you think you have any responsibility of doing any of that as far as keeping the safety setbacks and those things?
Is it my responsibility to make sure that the line is maintained?
No. As far as the, once you've marked it, do you have any responsibility after that other than make sure that the marks are there, remarked if you need to?
No, their job is to protect the line if it's exposed.
According to what the North Dakota law says. It also says in the book that if the excavator feels that the lines are reasonably, the marks are incorrect or missing, they need to call the company back up for remarks. And you were called a couple times for remarks.
Yes.
Okay. I think that was it. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, sure.
All right. Do you have any questions?
I do.
For our check?
Yes. Cassie, on the shovels and labor, the shovels and the laborers who were working in the trenches, what were they doing?
Just standing there.
Not working?
Yeah.
Was it because you were there they weren't working?
I think so.
Where were their shovels?
In their hands, leaning up against them. I can't
remember. If they had been shoveling, you said you didn't see any indication that they were shoveling. What would be indication that they were shoveling? What would you see?
I don't think I'd see an excavator there. And not as big of a hole.
Okay, so in your experience, the shoveling is done first before the bigger equipment comes out, or help me understand,
yeah.
when companies do the shoveling and the hydrovacking, when does that happen, and in terms of the process, and what do you see when you're there on site?
That's usually you're supposed to expose the lines before you come in and do your initial work, and to make sure that the lines are there and, you know, however many number of lines are in that trench.
So the contractors will typically come out ahead of time and do that before the large equipment comes?
Yes.
All right. And then the entire line, they'll expose that way? Or wherever they're going to be making
usually,
the trench?
Yeah, if they're running parallel, they'll hydrovac it a couple, you know, spots here and there. And if they're crossing it, yeah, they'll hydrovac that spot.
Okay. You said you didn't see a cave-in. So in terms of how the company described it could have happened, where the track hoe was sitting on the wall and it collapsed, and then the bucket was put down to save it from tipping over, and that bucket sliced the line. Tell me, you said it didn't happen that way. Tell me what you saw that tells you that it didn't happen that way.
I seen both ends of our cable sticking up. So if anything were to fall on it, those lines would be buried.
Okay. And the trench? Tell me what you saw in terms of the walls of the trench and that indicates there wasn't a cave-in.
It was wide open and nothing had fell down. There was no water in the trench or anything.
In all the cases?
Yes.
In every single one of these? Okay. Did you see any hydrovac equipment around?
No, I did not.
Okay. Then my last question, I want to, you obviously talked to Kyle a fair number of times. Did you, after, you know, a few of these occurrences, did you ask Kyle why they weren't using more care? Or what, did you have any additional conversations with him about their processes? And
I did mention a couple times that CTI has vac trucks a couple miles down the road available for them if they need any of that.
Is there any other conversations with Kyle that you can offer that shed any light into what, you know, why they were operating like this?
No.
You didn't ask him why they didn't use the hydrovacs or the hand shoveling or why they kept exposing it with or cutting it with the track hoe?
No, I can't remember anything right now.
Okay. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Commissioner Kip Christman, do you have questions for Ms. Steele?
I do, Your Honor. I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was on Exhibit 15.
Commissioner, would it help if you
case number
ones that were marked with A's and B's?
It may. Because case number 879, the one that you said did not occur within the circle?
Yeah, it was in the wrong, it was circled in the wrong spot. It was north of about a couple hundred feet.
Okay. So just explain to me a little more how we can be so you can recall vividly how the cable was and that the markings were still there and everything, but on case number 882, within a whole block, we can't recall where it was.
I think we just got the address or the streets mixed up.
So it was like on...
It was on
the
railroad.
Intersection, one or the other.
Yes. Yeah. Got the streets confused. It was actually railroad instead of central.
No, I switched to a different case number, 882. The one that's the whole block long.
Oh, that one.
I'm trying to figure out how we can... have a lot of pretty good detail, but not sure where it happened within a whole block. Anything to add to that?
It was just one spot. I couldn't remember the exact spot, but I just know that they had hooked that extra line where there was a previous buried splice.
Could that have been the way the circle is drawn, where it overlaps with 883, could it have been in that part of the circle? I mean, could these be only a few feet apart?
I think they were more than a few feet apart.
Okay. The remark, you said there was a couple of times when Kyle called you to remark things.
Yes.
Are those documented at all anywhere with dates and the places, or you just recall that you marked a couple of them?
Yeah, I just recall marking a couple.
But they weren't new locates. They were marking things that had previously been marked.
Yes.
And is there just the four scale tickets that we have in evidence here, or were there other scale tickets that aren't?
I think that it's just these four.
You have them with you?
Yes.
Okay. Number 10, then, is for 3rd Avenue from Central up to Railroad Avenue, right?
Yes.
So that north-south street, basically a block long.
Yes.
And number 11... is for Railroad Avenue from 3rd Street to Main Street.
Yes.
So where the previous one left off and going over to Main Street along Railroad Avenue. Correct?
Yes.
And number 12 is for Main Street, going from where the previous one left off, going south down all the way across Central Avenue and out to the intersection of U.S. Highway 2, correct?
Yes.
And number 13 starts in the middle of the previous one along Main Street and goes parallel to, or covers Central Avenue from Main Street all the way east, right off of the map to 4th
yes.
Avenue. So cases... $878 and $880 on Exhibit 14.
I don't. Oh, okay. Yes, I have it. Okay.
Where on any of these one calls is that area asked to have been mapped?
I don't see it.
But you said that it was definitely marked when you got the call. You looked and your marks were there?
Yes. Were you asking about the ticket?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't see that ticket here. But, yeah, they were very good about calling their one calls in.
But I just don't understand if this is all the requests there were. And no one ever asked to have that marked. Why did you mark it?
Well, I'm sure there was a one-call ticket for that. I don't know if it got left out or not.
Okay. I would think we should probably have that, another ticket entered as evidence or something for the record that...
Is it in there?
I think so. I'll read it to the witness
side
when it comes
out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I see it.
Do
you have anything else?
Okay. No, I don't think so. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Armstrong.
Ms. Steele, the 4-1 call tickets we have...
I don't like microphones. The 4-1 call tickets we have in this binder, those aren't the only... 4 tickets that Northern had throughout the course of this project, is there?
No.
Okay, I mean, there were numerous tickets, were there not?
Yes.
And we've tried to identify the ones associated with these digs. it's not your claim that any of these digs happened outside of a area that was ticketed, right?
No, they did not.
I'm looking at Exhibit 11. Along with the map, and I guess I'm looking at 14, but it says... under the extent of work, it says excavation site is on both sides of the road. Mark the entire road right-of-way of Railroad Avenue from 3rd Street West going east to Main Street. And I think that, I understand Railroad Avenue is up top, but I think, I guess there was our understanding that, at least through the process, that the Central Avenue was marked. Maybe we grabbed the wrong one, I don't know, but... you did mark Central Avenue, is that correct?
Yes.
And when you went there for each of these, in response to each of these calls, your markings were still present?
Yes.
And nobody's ever, it's not yours or ours anyway, claim that Northern did not have a locate ticket or that it wasn't marked properly. Nobody's ever said that, correct?
No.
With respect to, I just want to talk to you briefly about... I guess I don't know. Let me see. Maybe we can find it. But any estimate of how many one-call tickets were made by Northern in this span?
No, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Is it a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk to you briefly about Exhibit 882, which is on Exhibit 15. That's the one where with the splice and the loop and the S.
I don't have my map.
Okay.
Here's number 15.
Okay.
You can't remember the exact location.
Okay, yes.
What I'm wondering with that splice in the S, I mean, there was some testimony about it being big or anything like that. What I'm wondering is if, based on your markings, if Northern had been digging carefully and prudently, if they would have hit that line. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. They wouldn't have hit it. They scraped against the side of the trench, which they found it then, you know, cutting it, ripping the splice case apart.
Okay. And that was within the area that you had marked?
Yes.
From what you saw at the site, they hit the line in the area you had marked?
Yes.
All the questions I have.
All right. Can I just ask a question? Are you going to introduce the one-call ticket for that area?
If we can find it. I have to double-check this. I do think it's covered in one of these. It might be just a misunderstanding, but I have to double-check it during a break.
All right. Okay. Mr. Lindberg, do you have any further questions for Ms. Steele?
Mm-hmm. You know, in that, we go back to 882 with that S splice. You marked a line going across the road in whether it's paint or whiskers or whatever. But where the line was hit was on the back side of how the S was. Would the contractor have known that there was an S there? I mean, they had uncovered the cable where you had marked, right?
Right.
But they didn't uncover the back S of that cable, of that excess cable. They didn't know that.
No, when it was hooked, everything came out.
On your locator, does that, need calibration?
Every so often, maybe a couple years, but it's never off.
Okay. But it does need to be calibrated.
Yes, it does.
Do you have the records of the calibrations?
No, I have not had it calibrated since I have used it.
You mentioned hydrovac. Do all contractors use a hydrovac?
Most that I've seen.
In what type of construction?
Anything. Pipelines.
Do you water know lines? Some contractors that have hydrovacs and who they are? Any names?
Yeah, we own a hydrovac machine ourselves.
But contractors? Any?
As far as who?
Underground contractors who may have a hydrovac besides utility contractors? Utility companies?
I've seen, CTI has them. Badger. There's a couple of different other company names that...
Are those underground water and sewer contractors, or are those utility contractors?
They do anything from pipelines to utilities to whatever jobs they can get.
Of doing water and sewer jobs or utility work?
Utilities, pipelines. I don't know if they do water or sewer.
Okay. Do you know the technique that's involved when you are doing water and sewer work on when you come up to a utility line, what the sequence is for a contractor?
No.
Could it be that when the excavator gets to that point, and do you know that when you have a line marked, is it 2 feet on each side of the mark that the contractor is responsible for?
Yes.
So it's a four-foot area, basically, perpendicular to the trench excavation.
Yeah.
Could it be that the first method of operation when they are coming up to a utility line that, depending on the street, they might have to remove some asphalt? So they'll take the asphalt off, or it could be a layer of gravel. And does the contractor with their laborers dig down 6 inches or a foot at a time?
Of you guys?
The contractor, after the initial, top layer of gravel or an asphalt street or a concrete street's removed, do the laborers start doing handwork in that four-foot area by digging 6 inches to 12 inches down?
I'm not sure how people expose lines.
Okay. So you're not an expert on the techniques?
No, I'm not.
Could it be that once they do a hand dig, then the excavator comes and takes out that 6 inches so they have a new working area, and then the laborers come back in and do another 6 to 12 inches, and just the step keeps repeating?
Could be.
Down to 4 feet or deeper on wherever that utility is?
It could be. I haven't seen it, so.
Okay, but you're not, you don't know that, you don't know the sequence of that?
No.
Okay. So you say you're not an expert on how trench excavation on water and sewer lines is done?
No.
Or any backfilling operations?
No.
That S-splice was definitely mismarked or missed by everybody involved on the, from, you know, not being reported that there was a splice there, so you didn't know it was there. And
I didn't know it was there, but my marks were there indicating where the line was.
Right. And the contractor found that line initially?
Yes.
But where it wasn't marked is where the splice was and the casing got tore off?
Yes.
Okay. So you're well aware of that there was several other locates that were called in for the project?
Yes.
Including 2014?
Yes.
On the bore that, you know, the area where they were going to rebore the area?
Okay.
That where the line, the conduit was hit?
Yes.
You're aware that the bore has not been done?
Yes.
But the line is in operation?
Yes.
You mentioned Kyle called you several times for additional markings?
A couple times.
Was it from all the heavy traffic in that area?
Yes. Or if they were digging in that area and they were unsure, they would like to know where it was.
Okay. Good to hear. Thank you. That's all I have.
Ms. Checosacco.
We would like to follow up a little bit on the S-splice, but I was going to ask if Patrick Vaughn could ask the questions so that he could do the follow-up if necessary. There's any no objection?
Is there any objection?
No objection.
You may proceed.
It's my impression that the trenching was done in parallel to the, we're talking about the location where you had the S in the line, and
yes,
trenching was done parallel to the line.
Yes.
And can you tell us whether, well, the portion of the line that the backhoe grabbed, was it in the edge of the trench?
Yes.
The side of the trench?
The very edge of the trench.
And was the edge of that trench within the 2 feet of where your markings were?
Yes.
So the S was within your 2 foot hand dig zone?
Yes.
From the mark? That's all I have, thanks.
Right, thank you.
Your Honor, I had one follow-up, if you don't mind.
Please go ahead.
Thank you.
Just a late thought. I just forgot his name. When Kyle called you, did you ever take that information and put it in an email to send it to Shane or someone else, or to have some other documentation to further say what? Because you might get into a he said, she said here.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you could find that you maybe sent, said, I got a call from Kyle today, he said this happened, that you could produce?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak,
I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Commissioner Christman.
Only that someone else should take this 15A exhibit before I lose
I'll
it.
I'll be responsible for it right now. Mr. Armstrong, do you have any further questions?
No further questions.
Mr. Lindbergh.
One question on that splice again is that had the contractor found the splice in the middle of, like, the trench where the bucket was that was marked going across?
Okay.
Yes, they did?
Wait, what?
I think you need to rephrase your question.
Yeah, okay. The
like
markings that you had went across perpendicular to our to the trench going down the street. Had they found that initial cable, the initial cable marking as marked?
Which one are you talking about?
On the 882. This
one was paralleling. It wasn't crossing it.
So if it wasn't crossing it and the line was paralleling, but the previous excavation coming down the street, if the contractor was paralleling it, and then was there any marks? There was no mark showing the S. It came out.
Just a straight line.
Yeah. And so nobody had any control that there was an S in the loop. How wide was that S?
A couple feet. However that extra slack is put in there, I don't know how they do that.
So if you're going down a street and you're paralleling a line that is marked, but you're not crossing it, is it necessary to find that line if you're not crossing it?
A couple people do that. Like as far as pipeline companies, they back other lines up that parallel their one they're installing along the way.
Wouldn't that be a risk of creating another possible cable cut if you don't have to? If it's not in your way of construction, why excavate it if it's not in your way?
Just so that you know where it's at.
If your marks are right on, like you said, where do you draw the limit at? If it's not being crossed, and that's what one call, if the line's being crossed, then you hand dig around it. So is there, I guess my question is it required to locate that line if you're not crossing it?
For me to locate the line or for you to locate the line?
Or for a contractor to visit, is it necessary to locate that line if you're not crossing it?
I don't know that for sure.
Okay. That's all I have.
All right. Mr. Armstrong, nothing?
Nothing further.
Mr. Posago?
Nothing further, thank you.
Commissioners, nothing? All right, thank you very much, Ms. Steele. Mr. Armstrong, do you have other witnesses you wish to call?
I do have a witness, Victor Shook. We're able to locate that other ticket if we could. I was going to introduce it through him or just put it in later. So if we want to take a quick break, we can print that out.
We take a quick break?
Yeah.
5 minutes? Let's do that.